Tonight, if you'll turn your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let me take the opportunity now to read the first four verses. I do appreciate your being here, and then those that are viewing this evening, appreciate their watching as well. I want to begin reading tonight with verse number 1 of chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Hope everybody's had a good day today. Thank the Lord the cold snap is over. And now we'll get back to enjoying spring again, it looks like. Chapter 3, verse 1, where the Bible says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for the song tonight, reminding us of the coming of the Lord and that trumpet sound. And we know that we can look forward tonight to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening, Heavenly Father, for the great rubies of blessing that are found in this portion of Scripture. I do want to pray tonight for these prayer requests that's been shared with us. I do want to continue to pray this evening for Sister Barbara Martin as I think of her, and Lord, that you would give her recovery, Father, from her broken limb. And then I pray this evening for my friend Denver over in West Virginia with throat cancer, that you'll help him through that. And then, Father in heaven, every other name this evening that's been called, now bless us now as we spend time together. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to speak on a subject that, on the surface, it sounds maybe a little bit unusual for a sermon title. But the thought is, the one that I'm using this evening, is the thought or the title, After Easter Specials. After Easter Specials. And I'm actually building my thoughts around the fact that many times when there is a holiday, and particularly Christmas, there will be big sales that come along after the event. And many times they offer good deals. You can go up to Walmart, for example, and they have two or three lines of shelves that are just filled with items that you can really get a good deal on right after Christmas. Now, right after Easter, I'd say you can find a lot of good chocolate candy, and it would be discounted. But the only problem of it is most of us have come of age. We can't handle too much of it anymore. But this is a good time. You know, after Easter Special. Now, you know tonight where I'm going with this. You understand that when I talk about Easter, and everybody here is fully biblically educated to know that we're talking not about the holiday. We're not talking about Easter, the holiday. We're talking about the resurrection of Christ that we just celebrated. Maybe I need to qualify that statement, not just celebrated, we continue to celebrate it. In fact, we keep on celebrating it throughout the year. Maybe we chose, or maybe on the calendar, there's a particular day, whether it winds up being in March or April, that is Easter Sunday, given the way the calendar develops for the certain year. But the significance of Easter is in the fact that it commemorates the resurrection of our Lord. So, what I want us to think about tonight is this. After the resurrection, after Jesus arose, using the thought after Easter, there are all kinds of specials that result from that. There's many specials that result from Easter, result from the resurrection. Now, you know tonight that when it comes to the matter of a holiday, oftentimes there's a big build up, then there's a letdown. We plan, we organize, we get everything laid out, we're planning on our meals and so forth, and we prepare, especially if you've got kids coming in. There's a big build up to a holiday, but then many times there's somewhat of a letdown after it's over. People are tired and weary, and then it's the matter of routine again and so forth. Somewhat of a letdown. The day after, whether we're talking about Christmas or whether we're talking about Easter, the day after oftentimes is a day of recovery, recuperation, and relief. And I wrote a little article along that same thought. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone of Christian doctrine. And the Lord's finished work, and here's where we go to the text. The Lord's finished work is powerfully carried over into the life of those saved and risen with Christ. It's powerfully carried over. What Jesus Christ accomplished in his resurrection, he's actually sharing that with us. We tonight that are saved. And so the thought is it's carried over. The Christian is alive in him, our risen head, and we're enjoying the very best Easter leftover in that respect. We're enjoying the very best Easter leftover because we're alive in him, our risen head. Now, verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ. The thought is, since we are risen, not if per se, but actually it's since we are risen. Now, the specials that we're talking about tonight far exceed the specials that we find on store shelves after a holiday. We're talking about specials of all specials. There are several specials that are associated, that are connected to after Easter, because he is risen. There are several specials that have impacted our lives. For example, what about the special of a changed life? What about the special of new interest? And I'm talking about salvation. Changed life, new interest. What about new affections? What about new directions? Now, wouldn't you say those are special? I think it's a special thing tonight to be alive in Christ. It's a special thing to consider all that that means. I mean, honestly, it's going to take a good dose of heaven for us to really fully understand what we've been reading all these years down here, where it says, if you be risen with Christ, namely we are risen with him. It's just kind of hard to factor that in, isn't it? We're here, but we're up there. We're down here, but still we're up there. My human mind won't let me really comprehend totally what that means. But we know that it means identity, spiritual identity. Spiritual identity. We are identifying with our risen Lord. That's what it's talking about. The special of a new position, the special of a relationship with Christ and his people, the special of a new hope, the special of a future, the special of a security. Those are the specials that I'm talking about. Those are the specials associated to after Easter, because of Easter, because he is risen. The special of a new day, which is not just to be regarded as simply one day once a year. You and me tonight are enjoying far more than one day once a year. We're enjoying one day every day of the year. When you stop and think about it, every single day is a celebration of Easter. Every day. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. And every day for the Christian is Resurrection Day. For we reside in Him, our living head. That makes every day Resurrection Day. In looking at these verses, here's what we noticed. And here are the specials. I'll break it down a little bit further in just a moment. Here are the after Easter specials. We are resurrected in Him. There's one of them. We are represented by Him. That's the second one. We reside in Him. That's the third one. We are rearranged by Him. That's the fourth one. And we are going to be raised by Him. That's the fifth one. That's all in those four verses. Those are the after Easter specials. Now, maybe I can put it like this. In Adam, that is the first Adam, we all have a race relation. You hear people talking about race relation. In Adam, we all have a race relation. Every one of us tonight are brothers and sisters, if not in the Lord, in the human family. We all have the same daddy. We all come from Adam. We all have a race relation. I mean, you know, I knew when it didn't take me too long when I come into this part of the neck of the woods back there about 23 years ago, that if you step outside the Westmoreland and the Knuckles family, at that point in time, you didn't have too many people in this church that were considered outsiders. Isn't that right, Toots? And Toots has been kind of like the matriarch of the Knuckles. I bet she's probably thinking, like, why in the world did I come back to church tonight? But guess what? I'm related to you. You're related to me. We're all related in Adam. We are. In Adam, we all have a race relation, but I got something better than that. In Christ, we have a redemption relation.
That's right.
It's okay to have a race relation, but it's better to have a redemption relation. Because the verse says, if you be risen with Christ. The special blessings that I'm talking about, and now let me break it down in just a few minutes. Number one, we're resurrected in Him. Verse 1. If you be risen with Christ. We are resurrected in Him. That's what that verse says. We've already been resurrected. We could talk about Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've already been resurrected. Romans chapter 2, verse number 12 says, buried with Him, or chapter 6, I think I'm quoting, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. May have misquoted the reference on that. Is it 6:12? Don't look it up right now. I don't have a whole lot of time. Do it afterwards and then you can correct me. But I got the verse right. We are buried. Okay, that's 6. Yeah, 6. Okay, we are buried with Him in baptism. Now, you know what that's talking about. You have water baptism. You have spiritual baptism. Spiritually, saved people are buried with Him in baptism and raised to newness of life. In other words, the identity thing, the spiritual identity, and then water baptism, we symbolize, we picture that, we testify that to that when we follow Christ in baptism, because it's in the water, under the water, out of the water. And so that pictures the spiritual identity that one has with Christ. So we are resurrected already spiritually. That's what it's saying. Then I want you to note something in the same verse. It says, seek those things which are above. Then it says in verse number 2, set your affection on things above. Which he tells us we need to be seeking and setting. As resurrected people, we need to be seeking and setting. Seeking, setting. You can, those two words you can remember. You see, sometimes, well, have you ever heard of holy rollers? Years ago, I just about got, my father-in-law used to use the word balled up. I about got balled up with holy rollers when I first got saved. I was went to a church one time and somebody lit out running, left me standing, come back and wiped their brow, said, I just had to do that. Just had to run. You know, people got in speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor and people came up, put their hands on them and all that stuff. And I'm just a new convert and I'm trying to sort all that out. I'm trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Then I learned later on, if a person shouts or jumps and claps and shouts, when your feet hit the floor, you better be walking straight or you don't really have the right thing. But you see, that the holy rollers, we're talking about the Pentecostal, the spiritual movement where emphasis is placed upon the Holy Spirit many times. Have you got it? I won't let you in on something. He's not an it, he's a he. The Holy Spirit's a person. And any kind of a movement, and this is not my intent tonight, is to get on this necessarily, but any kind of a movement that puts the emphasis and the spotlight upon the person of the Holy Spirit instead of the person of Christ is not of God, because the Bible says when he has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he'll not speak of himself. He'll magnify me, Jesus said. But here's where I'm going with this. Instead of having holy rollers, we need holy seekers. Seek, note that, seek those things which are above. We need holy seekers, not holy rollers. It'd do us all a lot better to be holy seekers. You know, to be seeking those things which are above. I mean, after all, that's where our citizenship is. That's where our seating is. So why not be seeking things up there? Because that's where we're seated in Christ, right? Ephesians chapter 2. So that makes sense. But in Romans 6, 3 and 4 again, know you not that so many of us who were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. The blessing that I'm talking about is resurrected in him. We've already been resurrected spiritually. Yes, not bodily, but spiritually. We've been resurrected in him. Then my second thing that I see as an after Easter blessing is we reside in him. Because it says, risen with Christ. With Christ. Which means we are identified with him. We are residing in him. We are a part of him. The verse proves that. We are residing in him. Risen means we reside in him. The old hymn said, no condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is my alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Yes, we reside in him. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In. We reside in him. He is our habitation. We are in him. Think about it. He's in us. We're in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that something? He's in us, we're in Him, we're identified in His resurrection. I'd say that's a pretty good after Easter special. And that's what I'm saying. Then thirdly, notice something else. We are rearranged by Him. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. To me, that suggests spiritual rearrangement. Now think about this tonight, Christian. There was a time that you and I weren't setting our affection on things above at all. There was a time that our interest was totally earthly. We weren't setting and seeking. We had no interest in the heaven and what took place in heaven. We had no interest. Because before God saved us, we were of the earth. We were controlled by the earth, by the flesh, by our human nature. There was no spiritual life. Our affection was set upon the things of this world. But when God saved us, He rearranged us. The 2 Corinthians 5:17 kicked in. We've been rearranged. We think different, act different, focus different, look in different places, have different desires. We now have an interest in heavenly things. Now tell me, was there a time in your life that you would not be found perched in church on Wednesday night? How many of you could say that? Every hand probably could have gone up. I mean, because most of us didn't grow up all automatically with the church. Well, I understand now. Don't misunderstand me on this. I know sometimes parents raise kids and take them to church and so forth. But there's one thing. It's one thing to be in church as an attendee. But it's another thing to be in church as a Christian. And there's a stark difference in there. When a person is rearranged, then life changes. Attitudes change. We just, you know, you can take an old bull-headed, hard to get along with, person that every other word comes out of their mouth is a curse word, swearing, taking the name of Christ, God, in vain. And when they get saved, have you noticed how their language changes, their attitude changes, their interest changes? It's because God rearranges us. Amen. We're setting our affection on things above. We're seeking things above. And that's all of God. That's not a natural inclination. That's not normal to human nature, fleshly nature. That's not normal. That's abnormal. But it's normal for the Christian because that's what Christians do, because the Holy Spirit of God is going to be having us to directing our attention, looking up and concerned about the Lord and pleasing Him. So we're rearranged. Rearranged. A marvelous truth of redemption is a marvelous truth of a change. The newness of life in Christ Jesus is a life that He rearranged. The risen in Him are delivered. They're seated with Him upon high. They share in the Lord's resurrection. They'll meet Him one day in the sky. The saved have no reason to panic. They're safe in the palm of His hand. They feast from His table of blessing. They're bound for the promised land. Our bodies grow older and weaker. Our days on this earth may be few. As pilgrims we're bound for the city where people are healthy and new. See, that's what it's all about now. We've been rearranged. Hey, we're heading to a new place tonight. Hey, we've got different interests and different desires, and we've got a changed lifestyle. God rearranges us. This thing of setting and seeking is of God. God has to do that. Nothing short of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit causes us to start setting and seeking. God gets praise for that. Then another one of these after Easter blessings, or specials, I'm calling it, is number four, we're represented by Him. Verse 3 of our text, for you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. We're represented by Him. I'm going to tell you something tonight that's going to cause some of y'all's mouths to fly open. You're looking at a person tonight that's been dead for over 2,000 years. You ready for me to prove that? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But I'm crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on Calvary, God saw Chuck Peters dying in him. In fact, God saw that in aeons of eternity before even creation, because he knows all things. So in reality, we died over 2,000 years ago. But of equal importance is God saw us over 2,000 years ago, not only dead, dying with Christ, but risen with Christ and ascended with Christ and seated in heavenly places in Christ. He saw that too. We're represented by Him. We're represented by Him. That says it right there. You know, there is a such a thing. Let me illustrate something here. There is a such a thing as a living dead in the case of the unsaved. Do you hear me? There's such a thing as the living dead in the case of an unsaved person. An unsaved person is living physically, but they're dead. They're dead spiritually. They're the living dead. But now, here's something else. There's also living dead for the saved. I'm crucified with Christ. That's living dead too. Think about that, if you would. And then, let me hurry on here. Note something else. The Bible says, you're dead, and your life is hid. Hid. Hid with Christ in God. You know, the idea of being hid, it's sort of like, it's the idea, it's like hidden treasure that's been locked up and secure. It's like hidden treasure locked up and secure. The word hid, when you study that out, that suggests that thought. I guess maybe I could put it like this. The child of God is in the safety, security box of Christ in glory. Safety, security box of Christ. Hid. Hid with Christ in God. Now, I understand that what I'm talking about here tonight is not surface religion talk. We're getting down. This is what you call getting down to the nitty gritty. Deep, getting down a little bit below the surface to try to put your mind around this thing right here that I'm talking about tonight. But we are hid with Christ in God. Now see yourself like this tonight. Imagine now your soul, your spiritual person, imagine it being locked up in a safety deposit box in glory with the label Jesus Christ. In other words, we are hid in Him. Hid in Him. Sometimes old preachers get to preach and they'll say, bless God, I'm hidden so well the devil will never find me. And understand where they're going with that particular point. In reality, the devil on this earth does torment and aggravate and bother the people of God immensely. The devil will work us over good. Thank God the demons can't indwell us, but the devil can sure make our life miserable from time to time. Or demonic forces. But to say it like this, when it comes to the matter of hid with Christ in God, that is talking about basically our security though. Our spiritual security. That's not talking about living upon this earth and dwelling in a fallen world with demonic forces and all that stuff. That's just basically saying that as far as the spiritual being is concerned, ourselves, our soul, our spiritual resurrected person, we're padlocked in the safety of the person of our risen Lord. The devil will never get at our soul for sure. We are secure. And that's what that is basically teaching us this evening. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So there's a great verse, parallel that. And then finally tonight, an after Easter special, I see that in verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." We will be raised by him. When I look at verse number 4, I see 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 written all over that passage. The Lord's coming back. And we're going to appear with him in glory. I understand that that's also true when it comes to his return back to this earth, but I believe here the basic thought is when Christ comes back, he is our life. We will appear with him in glory because we're going to go up. We're going to meet him. And, of course, we're going to be in glory. So we are going to appear with him in glory. I just believe that here is talking primarily about the coming of Christ for the church. The point is we will be raised by him. And when that takes place, that's going to be when we are resurrected. We're going to be raised by him. Now, that's a pretty good after Easter special, isn't it? Huh? We will be raised by him. You know, we've been saying a whole lot about the resurrection lately, haven't we? Well, every day we could talk about it. In fact, here's another one of those great verses. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, Paul says. But thank God tonight, our hope goes beyond this life. We'll never be able to get over Easter if we try. The specials keep coming, keep being offered. God providing our needs, blessing us exceedingly abundantly, taking care of us, giving us peace, having that seating in heaven with him. I'm telling you, it just goes on. And you can't put a price tag on the blessings of God. You can't. You may walk in Walmart store after Christmas, and you might look at that shelf, and you might say, "Man, that's exactly what I wanted. There's a pick an item. There it is. I can get it half price." And you pay your money, you walk out of there, you feel like Jesse James riding out of town. Boy, was that a deal. That's how Nathan feels every time I sell him a gun. He feels like Jesse James riding out of town. And then Ashley turns around and gets a new dress. Every time she comes in sporting a new dress, that's because Nathan just made a gun deal. But I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to what God has done for us, you can't put a price tag on that, though. I mean, there's no way. I mean, what is a man profited? And that's a financial term, isn't it? Profited. If he should gain the whole world and lose his soul. So being in Christ, that makes us a pretty wealthy bunch of people. In fact, don't tell him I said so. In fact, the name slips me right now. Help me out, Cheryl. Who's this guy that's buying that company? What's his name? Huh? Elon Musk. Don't tell Elon Musk I said this, but I'm wealthier than he is. I don't know how many billions. Now, if Elon Musk is a Christian, then I say praise God. He's got it both ways. But I'd rather myself know that I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus than to have the billions of dollars that Elon Musk has. And he'll not take a single penny of it with him. Preachers have preached it for years, and I challenge you to prove them wrong. You'll never find a U-Haul hooked to a hearse. Never. Never happened. That's one time somebody, I've told this illustration. This guy had a lot of money, and he died, and the family gathered around him. They were wanting to see what kind of part they got in the inheritance. And then the old attorney began to read the letter. And here's how it read, to the disappointment of the family. I, John Jones, being a sound body and mind, spent it all. Don't you imagine that eyebrows dropped when you said that? People fight. You know, I think it's absolutely, it's a stain on a person's character and their image, especially if they're a Christian. When someone in the family dies and the family gets in a fight over inheritance. It's a terrible stain. There have been many times there have been families that have broken up and they're never speaking to one another again over an inheritance settlement. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. But what is worth it is knowing the Lord, loving Him, having peace, rejoicing in Christ, and laying up treasures in heaven that nothing will corrupt. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for these after resurrection specials and blessings that we enjoy every day. We thank you that because He's risen, we're seated in heavenlies in Christ. We thank you that because He's risen, we can set our affection on things above. We thank you that because He's risen, one day we also will be risen bodily in Him. We thank you, Father, tonight for the blessings that follow the empty tomb, that follow the Easter message. Father in heaven, if there's someone right now, whether here or out there, I know most of the time on Wednesday nights, the people that come, we know them. They have testimonies, and we sense no need to hold invitations to get saved because we know the people. But there are people out there watching that might not be saved. And on a Wednesday night, there is a need sometimes of Christians coming forward to an altar and praying and talking to the Lord about something and maybe getting some help, some encouragement by praying at an altar. And so, Lord, for that reason this evening, we will have an invitation. If someone needs to come, but for someone watching right now that's not a Christian, may they call upon Him right now, trusting Him, asking Him to come into their heart and save them. And just bless this message this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.